So, it's the Hotel Flandre after all, where... Why? I sob like a child.
Mama!
Waiting for you.
Come!
Don't let your father see you.
If he wants you to spend the night with him, do it.
He said it wouldn't help him.
What harm can it do?
No, you don't have to. These memories. How could I ever be free of them?
Marcel, my captain says you can stay in my room in the barracks.
You're crying.
Oh, Robert.
What a sensitive man you are.
Robert.
What?
I love your captain. Did I tell you that?
Yes. Well, you haven't met him yet. Come on. We'll have our dinner in front of the fire. What do you say to that?
Is that your aunt up there on the shelf, Robert?
Hmm? Yes. Well, no. It's her photograph. The Duchess de Guermont. You know her?
We live in the same building.
Oh, of course.
As if she'd stopped beside me and allowed me for the first time to gaze at her. The rounded cheek, the arched neck.
Marcel?
The falcon beak. As though she and the whole Guermont race had sprung from the union of goddess and mythical bird.
You all right?
You look like her. Do you know?
Do I?
You do.
Well, well.
I've heard astounding things about her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in her from a literary perspective.
Oh, you're going to put her in one of your books?
I might.
Aunt Ariane would like that.
She hasn't said anything about me, has she?
About you? No.
I've been told she thinks I'm a bit of an idiot.
Oh, that I doubt. Ariane's no genius, but she isn't that stupid.
You know that as a rule I'm not keen for you to tell people what you think of me.
But that you're a bit of a genius.
Exactly.
And a really nice fellow.
That kind of thing.
All right.
So you couldn't tell her, could you?
About you being a genius?
Yes.
I could.
Well?
What difference would it make?
Hmm?
What difference would it make what she thinks of you?
None at all. No. The thing is, it would give me pleasure.
Why?
Because? Oh, forget it.
What?
Robert, it couldn't matter less.
Drop more port?
No, thank you.
We'll walk in the wood tomorrow, shall we?
Anything you like.
Rachel's going to leave me, Marcel.
How do you know that?
I know it.
How?
When she's bled me dry. It's obvious.
Is it?
Rachel is mistress.
I'm doomed.
Don't say that, Robert.
Don't say that.
What tortures me is it? I keep thinking there might be something I could do. You know, the one thing to keep her.
Yes.
You understand?
Of course. I'm sorry, Robert. I'm sorry you're suffering.
And you know, she isn't writing to me now. I mean, what kind of person would do that? The silence, that's the worst.
The silence is a terrible thing.
It's killing me.
You're not going to Paris, then?
She doesn't want me to. Why?
I hoped you might introduce me to your aunt.
My aunt again?
Shall I tell you my real interest in your aunt?
What?
Her art.
Orion?
She's got some wonderful Elstirs. I'm dying to see them.
Are you?
Yes, dying. Couldn't you just drop her a line?
Of course.
Hmm?
Of course I will. If that's what you want, of course I will.
Oh, Rob Hare, I do like you.
Telephone call, sir. For the gentleman.
Coming. Thank you again. Thank you. I'm very sorry about Rachel, by the way.
Good. That's all right.
Now I'd get to meet her. And Robert would tell her what kind of person I am, and perhaps it's her telephoning me now. Perhaps she wants to invite me to a dinner party. I can see her lips curling at the telephone, her breath fogging the receiver.
Yes, hello?
Marcel?
Granny?
Is that Marcel?
Yes.
How are you?
Hmm?
Are you well?
Yes. How are you?
And you're sleeping well?
Yes. I'm coming home soon, Granny.
Why?
What?
Why come home? You're sleeping. You're well.
Yes.
Why come home?
Well, I thought that...
What? Why rush back? Stay there.
But don't you want me to...
It's good for you to be away from home. Is it? To be free?
Free? There's time enough to be free when...
Marcel?
Yes.
I imagine my freedom after her death. Horrified.
Granny? Granny? Speak! Speak to me! Granny!
I'm left alone, imagining all the things I would one day long to say to her, but can't. Those things I never said. Yet when I return to our apartment...
Granny?
She's asleep. And I stand in front of her like a spectator at my own existence. We rarely see the people we love, except in the image our love has created for them. Who was this old woman? It isn't her. Beneath the lamp, it isn't my granny. This sick old woman with the rubbery face and the stalactite of spittle, her crazed eyes looking at the dropped book. It isn't her.
Oh. What?
It isn't her. But someone you don't know.
Marcel, what do you think of this? She saw it at Boucheron's.
Uh-huh.
She said immediately, I want that necklace. What do you think of that? She's terribly clear on these things.
I can see.
Yes, it was a little bit pricey for me, but she has so little, you know.
Well, in that case...
Exactly. Wait here.
Where?
She just lives over there. Wait here.
Standing by a small suburban garden, mauve frocks of lilacs hanging above me remind me of Combray.
The best example of river basin water lilies in the entire region.
The walks with my family. My hands reach up to those purple platoons.
There he is, hiding.
I'm not hiding.
Marcel, this is Rachel.
I recognise the woman at once.
Hello.
I slept with her a year before in a brothel.
How would you like a nice Jewess this evening, sir?
We look at each other.
How do you do?
She doesn't recognise me.
How do you do? I love modern art.
Do you?
I love it.
And what exactly do you...
Cubism.
Ah.
Waiter. She's so intelligent.
I can't get enough of it.
I told you.
This woman I wouldn't pay 20 francs for was worth a million francs to Robert.
Picasso, those funny faces.
Oh, yes.
Another bottle.
And I love a good book, too.
Listen to this. She kills me.
I love nothing better than curling up with Tolstoy.
He and I both saw the same thin and narrow face, but approached it from opposite ways. That was all.
He drinks too much.
Tolstoy?
No, you! I should keep him on water.
It's all right, it's all right.
If he lived with me, that's what he'd get.
Oh, she would too.
This is the power of the imagination. It creates the illusions on which are based. The pains of love.
Will like iron.
But unfortunately, I am too busy with my career at the moment.
Oh, yes.
I'm on the edge of a breakthrough.
Or should that be a breakdown?
And you can shut up. I'm an actress. He told you that, did he?
Yes.
Are you eyeing up the waiter now?
You see what I have to deal with?
The afternoon unpeels you, Robert, like a bruised banana. The cheap burlesque theatre she drags us to. I see your face strained against the faded velvet seating.
Maggie!
This is rather good. Enjoying it, Marcel?
Hmm.
Won't you ever see her for what she is?
A bit unkind.
What?
I think they're quite good.
Oh, what do you know, rich boy?
And then, of course, afterwards, we have to go backstage to visit her friends. Robert's face, pale with suffering.
Are you going to my great aunt?
I don't know. Are you?
I don't know. Yes, my mother will be there.
What am I saying? Yes. She doesn't know you're in Paris.
What? My aunt Oriane will be there, by the way.
The Duchess?
Yes, Marcel, the Duchess de Guermont. Your face, it's a picture, Marcel.
Look at Bernard's lovely little hand.
Dancers have lovely hands.
Bet they can please a woman. Not like some.
I can't bear this.
What do you want to do?
I love her so much. I do. I can see the way you're looking at me, but I do.
All right.
You could play so many roles, Robert.
You know when you came to stay with me at Dancière? I cried when you left.
That day you were being so loving.
Really?
Like a brother.
I'm going to get her. Do you mind?
What's that?
Everybody's supposed to be looking at him, is that right?
Do you mind? He's a friend.
Yes? I said I'd give you a necklace if you behaved yourself.
You can keep the necklace.
I can't bear this, Rachel.
Keep the bloody necklace, Robert.
I can't take it back.
What?
I've ordered it for you. It's a Boucheron.
What does that matter to me?
Please, please, Rachel.
Give it to me, then.
You always want to show how much money you've got.
Give it to me, then.
Not having much luck with the ladies, are you? Ever thought about swinging the other way?
What? What did he say to me?
A night with yours truly might straighten you out, sir. Might be just what the doctor ordered.
You filth.
But now you are here at the home of Mrs. Villeparisis. The rest of the evening quite forgotten. You stand there in the corner, glass in hand, hoping to remain half invisible, waiting for her, the Duchess de Gaumont. What charm, what power that name still has for you, containing so much of your childhood, the walks along the Gaumont Way, the water lilies, the overshadowing trees in the endless summer afternoons. Gaumont. As you walk past the stumps of the ruins of the old castle of Combray, you longed to reach the source of the river, the Vivonne, and beyond it, to the house itself, where the Duke and Duchess stayed. You knew they were people, but more than that, they were the first citizens of Combray, whose ancestor was Geneviève de Brabant, who appeared in the magic lantern slide someone had bought for you, to calm you from your childish terrors, and whose image floated across the walls and curtains of your bedroom.
This is the Lady Geneviève de Brabant in her castle. She's very grand.
Gaumont. Soon she would be here. Woman, but more than woman, whom you had dreamed of seeing on those walks, and whose hand you would one day hold as she questioned you about the poems you intended to write. And this Duchess, this person, embodying so much, was coming here, and you'd see her. And suddenly she's there.
Is my husband here?
In a dress like a blood-red blossom.
I say this, though I'm aware of how absurd I look. It's not as though we're a young couple who pay calls together.
Her eyes are the blue skies of a country afternoon. You're in love.
I went to a dinner party the other evening. I won't say whose. We sit down. There's a fizz in the air. Tonight we're going to discuss adultery, they said. I said, I'm sorry, I've only prepared notes on incest.
And yet...
Someone asked me if I believe the Queen of Sweden still looked like a Dachshund. Dachshund? Did I say Dachshund? I said, I should have said an ox.
I knew she was stupid.
Forget canine, think bovine.
Is this the woman I walk miles every day to see? What an idiot.
As for Robert and this Rachel, what can he see in her?
But I didn't believe it. I was in love with her. His charm so easily uprooted.
But I can only assume the performances she gives in the bedroom are somewhat more convincing than the one she gives on stage. Ah, Marianne, there you are.
Marianne, you look well.
Thank you.
Robert's mother. She is well known as a saint. In fact, feared for it.
How's Robert? Tell us, we were just talking about him.
Busy. They keep them so busy at the barracks.
Well, what's he doing in Paris, then?
How do you mean?
Well, he's in... Oh, dear, what have I said? That loud metallic noise was the sound of Orion dropping a clanger.
Is Robert in Paris?
Yes. There, I've told you. I'm sure he would have got around to seeing you eventually. Children. In fact, he's coming here.
And then she sees you.
Marcel.
Countess.
Everybody's here. And how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Robert's in Paris, they tell me.
Yes.
Good. And coming here?
Yes.
Good.
And then there you were, looking dreadful. For a moment I thought you were going to ignore her completely.
Hello, Mother.
Robert.
Look, I can't stop very long.
Why?
I'm sorry I didn't have time to tell you.
You're busy.
Yes.
I understand.
Look, I just want to speak to Marcel.
Of course. Of course you do.
Just for a moment.
Goodness. Am I your jailer?
No.
No. You silly boy.
Don't. Please don't ruffle my hair, Mother.
What am I doing?
Just...
I'm being silly, am I?
Look, I'll just talk to Marcel.
I think I can see Mrs. Argent calling me.
God, Robert.
Can't be helped, can't be helped. Have you spoken to my aunt yet?
Robert, please.
Propels me across the room to where she stands, within range now, and showered with the light of her gaze.
Aunt Oriane, my friend Marcel.
What's this?
Marcel.
How do you do?
Hesitates. Then unfolds and stretches towards me the stem of her arm.
He wants to ask you something.
What do you want to ask me?
He's not very well right now. I think he'd be a lot better if he saw you more often, Aunt Oriane.
Isn't that nice?
I'm going to talk to my mother now. Somebody has to.
Isn't he dreadful? I expect that's why we love him. I see you in the mornings.
Yes.
I like walking in the fresh air.
Yes.
Get your lungs and your legs moving.
Yes.
Why don't you come to dinner? Then we can finish this conversation.
Like that.
Oh, yes, you would. She stands up without saying goodbye and is gone.
Excuse me. You remember me?
Of course, sir.
Of course, he says, a little liar.
You're Robert's uncle, the Baron de Charlus. You gave me a book.
Which you've omitted to read, no doubt?
I have read it.
Liar.
What?
Listen, did Oriane give you an invitation, Robert?
Yes.
I hope you turned her down. Oh, bless him, he's blushing. So, you've started going into society anyway, which is good. You'll give me the pleasure of coming to see me as well, I hope.
I'd be delighted.
It's a bit too complicated, actually. I've got to leave in a minute. You couldn't walk along with me, could you?
Yes.
Good. Don't go away.
Everything all right?
Fine.
Have a nice chat with my aunt.
Oh, yes.
Did you let her see how brilliant you are?
Yes, I think I did that.
Good.
So I'm going in a minute.
Me too.
You all right?
Your mother's coming, Robert.
Again?
You're leaving?
Yes. Didn't I say?
It's not nice of you.
Nice or not, that's the way it is tonight.
Well, well. And you're going too?
Yes. I'm sure Robert's just very tired, busy.
Sweet boy. If only I hadn't told him he wasn't perfect. That's what I regret. I don't see him very often, you see. Excuse me.
And wanders off into the crowd. I want to call her back. I find a word accidentally rise to my lips. Mama. It's definitely time to leave.
Mrs. Veal Parisi. I have to leave now, but thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, that's all right. Did I see you talking with Baron de Charlus?
Yes, he's asked me to walk home with him.
Oh, don't wait for him.
What?
I should go now while his back's turned.
I don't understand.
I've said what I've said.
We're very close friends, as a matter of fact.
Are you really?
Come on, you. Goodbye, Aunt. Lovely, lovely thing. Yeah.
You wish to speak to me?
Yes, but I don't know whether I shall now. As far as you're concerned, it could be the beginning of something very profitable. But for me, I'm at an age when one begins to value tranquility. Do I want to get involved in a lot of time-wasting activity?
I don't understand.
Are you worth it? And perhaps you don't desire what I could do for you.
But I would be very grateful for...
No, that kind of politeness means nothing. Some cultivate begonias, but what could be more satisfactory than giving our time to a plant of human growth? I repeat, are you worth it?
I wouldn't for the world be any worry to you.
Well, that's all very well. People of your age say things they don't mean.
I do mean it.
Do you? You take my arm, then. Oh, that's very touchy. It's exactly the kind of assurance I need if I'm to act on your behalf.
You looking for a cab, sir?
No. Young man, you are intelligent enough to take an interest in history, I think. I don't speak of the intellectual enjoyment that one such as yourself could gain in learning certain secrets. I'm speaking of a chain of circumstances. You see, I could give you an explanation not only of the past, but of the future, which no one has dreamed of.
Cab, sir?
Let me see your face. No. Do you have any Jewish friends?
Sir?
Do you know any Jews? Because if you do, I'd like to attend a festival at the temple. Perhaps a circumcision or some Hebrew chanting. Or perhaps be able to spectate at a comic exhibition between a Jew and his father in which he would smite him as David smote Goliath. That would be amusing to me. He might even include his old mother in the act. Why not? Could I witness him giving his old bag of a mother a good thrashing? Bend her across his knee? I'd love to see an old non-European bitch getting a good kicking. That would please me no end.
Sir?
What do you want?
Looking for a ride, sir.
Clear your seat and I'll come up there next to you.
Right you are.
To teach you the secrets of diplomacy, I might myself, who knows, regain my appetite for those arts. But for that, I would need to see you often. Very often. Every day. Think about it.
Up you up, sir.
Oh, my hopping days are over. Give me your hand. Now, move up. I'll drive. Phew, the condition you're in. Think about it.
The Baron de Charlus' offer is echoing in my mind as I return home.
What is it, Mama?
101. She has a temperature of 101.
Well, you...
Granny, my dearest Granny, why should her illness be associated in my mind with the image of a portly aristocrat whipping a cabby's horses?
What did the doctor say?
Rest. She's to rest.
Is that...
What?
What?
What? You don't think
that... It's in sickness that we're compelled to recognise that we don't live alone, but are chained to a being from a different realm.
Send for Dr. de Bulbon.
From whom we are worlds apart, who has no knowledge of us and by whom it is impossible to make ourselves understood. I mean, our bodies.
He's very good.
And to ask pity of our bodies would be like talking to an octopus, for whom our words have no more meaning than the sound of the tides. And yet... How appalled we'd be if our lives depended on the mercy of an octopus.
Ah, yes, madam. You prefer the earlier novels of Mr. Bergotte, do you?
I think so. I think I do.
I couldn't agree more.
Oh, there, Mother. Dr. de Bulbon agrees.
I
suppose at first he was making her talk about literature because he himself found medicine boring. I realised later that as an alienist, his aim was to find out whether her memory was working.
Now, madam, I have examined you when we were talking, and I discovered all I needed to know, and I say this to you. You will get better on that day, and it rests entirely with you, on that day when you realise there is nothing wrong with you.
But I have a temperature.
What an excuse.
And I feel... ill.
I know you do. And that's the problem. The mind, madam, can convince us of anything at all. And tell someone of a neurotic disposition that the window is open, they begin to sneeze. Tell them their coffee is a little stronger than usual, and they won't sleep all night. You see, the mind.
Well, perhaps that clump of laurels in the Champs-Élysées, she could sit under that, if you think, Doctor.
Absolutely excellent. Go to the Champs-Élysées immediately and sit under the laurels. It purifies the blood.
I am not neurotic.
Do you think I needed more than to glance in your eyes to see?
But I feel so tired.
You must reverse the engines. The force which is telling you not to eat and not to go out must be now used to make you do these things. In your hands, it is in your hands. Don't tell me you're tired when tiredness is only the organic reaction to a preconceived idea. Change your ideas. You'll be cured. That's all there is to it.
So we go to the Champs-Élysées, leaving the cab at the Rue Gabriel. Why am I impatient with her?
You see? You feel better, Granny? Well, sit down, shall we? You feel any better? Granny? Oh,
sit here.
Her face is flushed, her hat crooked. Why are we walking in the Champs-Élysées? She leans on my arm, and I can feel her elbow. Her small hands grip my fingers. I feel her nails go into me.
Granny? Oh, sit here.
We can go home.
Her face turns away. That dear, dear face.
It's all right. I'm all right.
I'll get a cab. Shall I get a cab?
Gripping my hand, smiling. No need to hide from me now what we have both realized. She's had a stroke.
Cabby! Cabby!
And suddenly she is closed to me. Part of the external world, like a stranger, for the first time. I can't talk to her. She has returned to me the thoughts which, from my earliest childhood, I entrusted to her. And though she isn't yet dead, I'm already alone. Powerless. 8 days. Realizing she can't be understood, she withdraws from speech. 8 days.
Oh, no, 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 Mother, please. No, you can't get up. Oh, please, no.
Powerless, your head falls back on the pillow. 8 days. Your face, grave and stony. You make no effort to think. What's it like? What's it like for you? Then you fight.
Oh, you were, you were.
Marcel.
You were,
oh, Granny. Oh. Granny. Oh, God. Oh.
Now, plaintive, haggard, picking hairs from your nightdress, eyes sullen and senile. At Balbec, once, when a widow had flung herself into the sea and had been rescued against her will, you told me you could think of nothing so cruel as to snatch a desperate woman from the death she craved and restore her to a living martyrdom. And yet, I thought...
Don't leave me alone.
My poor darling. You have only Mama and Papa to take care of you now.
The creature now bent in a semicircle on the bed. It isn't you, Granny. It isn't you. But a wild beast panting. It isn't you. Those convulsions making the blankets heave. It isn't you. All this agitation, not addressed to us. You no longer know us. But if it isn't you, where are you? Now Françoise combs her hair. Granny. It's beautiful. It's only tinged with grey. I remember you, calling on you in the Grand Hotel at Balbec. I was so frightened of being alone, Granny, each morning.
Please, Granny.
You didn't mind.
Granny, please come in. I'm sorry. Please come in now.
I'm here.
Granny.
My little mouse.
Did I wake you?
Did my mousey think I'd let him lie awake without me? I'm here. I'm here.
Now your face is young. Washed clean of the wrinkles and marks that life has printed on you. A smile seems to be hovering on your lips.
We'll go on the Guermont way tomorrow, if it doesn't rain.
A change in the weather creates us anew. After a series of mild days, A cold fog which didn't clear until midday. I feel reborn. My parents are in Combray for a few days, and I'm having dinner with the Gamonts tonight. I'm free of my mother's delicacy with respect to my grandmother's memory. If I telephone her to ask her opinion, I know what she'll say.
Do just as you wish. You're old enough now to know right from wrong.
If I telephone...
It's Miss Albertine come to see you.
Albertine. At that name, I immediately see four girls advancing across the beach. I'm sitting with my grandmother at Balbec.
I don't know.
Yes, he did. Are you listening to me?
But I'm looking at the girls. One of them, with plump cheeks and laughing eyes, pushing a bicycle, silhouetted against the sea.
Albertine Simonet.
Do you mind if I sit down beside you like I used to at Balbec?
No. Sit down. Kiss me.
Certainly. Sleeping late, as usual.
Yes. How are you?
Very busy. Bored, but busy, you know.
Why bored?
Rushing around. Balbec was boring this year. Why didn't you come?
My grandmother died.
I'm very sorry. Why didn't you write to me?
I didn't write to anybody. I'm all right now.
Oh, good. Anyway, is there anything I can do for you?
No.
Are you sure? Are you sure? For example, I'm not in the least ticklish.
Is that so?
Yes, it is.
It's very interesting.
Isn't it? I'm immune.
I doubt it.
You're very doubtful. You could tickle me for half an hour and I wouldn't feel it.
Is that right?
Yes, it is. It is right. Half an hour.
If you don't mind, I'd rather put that off for a while.
Would you like a voucher? Pick it up later?
Yes, I will. Thank you.
Albertine.
Well, I consider that to be a pity.
Why?
Listen, don't you know how to tickle?
Of course I do.
I don't think you do. I think that's half the trouble. You don't know a slap from a tickle.
Come here.
Slowly. Oh, you have to uncurl your fingers. Like that. God, they're like springs. Relax, if you ought to master the tickler's art. That's the idea. No, no, not there.
Why not?
Well, we aren't engaged, are we? There are rules, you know.
Who wrote them?
I did.
Oh. All right, where then? Where am I allowed?
Oh. That's nice.
Really? Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you lie down properly?
Oh, am I too heavy?
No.
What are you doing? Ouch!
Oh, sorry, sorry.
Shh. Let me show you.
In this matter of kissing, it occurs to me our nostrils and eyes are in the wrong place, and our lips the wrong shape.
Piece of cake. See?
I should have liked to breathe into you the mystery you had for me before I knew you, Albertine.
Oh, you're getting quite good at this.
Why? Why do I suddenly think of another pair of lips?
You're going to be a grown-up boy for me. You promised...
Kiss me.
If he wants you to spend the night with him, what harm can it do?
What harm can it do?
What's the matter?
I don't want to make you late.
I've got plenty of time. But you're going out this evening?
Yes.
I'd better go then. When will I see you again?
I don't know.
Oh. All right.
I'll send round for you.
What?
When I'm free.
Yes, that'll be nice. Look, I'd like to see you. That's all I'm saying.
Time to light the lamps.
Oh, crikey. I'm going, Françoise.
Nothing to do with me.
Goodbye, my darling. It was lovely. I'm going.
No better than she ought to be. And another visitor, Mr. Saint-Loup, is downstairs.
Robert's here.
Now, that's what I call a nice gentleman. Your mother'll be pleased you're so busy in her absence.
Robert, why did you come to me that night?
You all right?
Yes.
It's a foggy night, I'm sorry. Have my cloak.
You said nothing at first. And I began... The fog. Something. the enclosed air, and I began to think, we make so little use of our experience. Hours pass by, bare, one-dimensional. How to find what lies underneath that rich orchestration of pleasure? Associations of memory. I could hear the band outside Robert's barracks at Tonsier. The light coming through my curtains. And then again, the fog made me remember arriving one night at Combray. If only I knew. If only I could have grasped then in that carriage with Robert the connection between the light there at Tonsier and the somber light of Combray. If I could have found the connection then, perhaps I wouldn't have had to go through all these years. These years and years to arrive at my vocation.
By the way, my Uncle Charlie wants you to go and see him tomorrow evening.
My ideas fled. Like shy gods. They never stay if you're with someone else. So much for the benefits of friendship.
I can't. I'm dining with the Duke and Duchess of Guermont.
Oh, yes. Orianne's blowout. I'm not invited. But anyway, do go to my uncle's afterwards. He's very keen to tell you something. I don't know. Orianne's parties are over quite early. You can get out by 11. Don't let him down, will you? He's very touchy.
All right. You all right?
Hmm? Yes, first rate. Oh. We don't see each other so much anymore, do we? It's a shame. But I understand why. Both busy men. Can't be helped.
How's army life?
It's tremendously interesting.
Do you think the Kaiser wants war, Robert?
No, nobody wants war. The Germans are always like this. They threaten. They want us to back down, but even if we didn't back down, no, nobody wants war. It would be a catastrophe. It'd be like the Götterdämmerung. It'd be like the flood all over again, but finished a lot quicker. You're warm enough.
My wife will be pleased as punch that you're here.
The Duke of Guermont rambles on. I look around. I've never seen women like this. Just my mother's prim bourgeois friends before. These women have bare shoulders, necks.
Good evening. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Their naked flesh appears from either side of sprays of mimosa.
Very well. Thank you very much.
There you are.
Hello. Thank you.
For...
inviting me this evening.
Are you tired?
No. Why?
You must be tired.
Why?
Your illness. Bazin, release him.
I was only...
We want him to meet our friends, yes, but we don't want him...
exhausted.
Exactly.
I'm not exhausted. Really.
He's so brave.
Orianne, what were you saying about the Duke's brother?
Oh, don't start her off.
What was I saying? I don't remember.
I could do without having a witchy wife sometimes. I honestly could.
Tell us, do.
Why did I start it?
I don't know. Why did you?
Was it a pun?
I'm going to have to tell them.
One of Orianne's puns. Oh, it's sure to be delicious.
Put them out of their misery, Orianne. Spill the beans.
No, I won't.
You're being so tantalizing. You're teasing us.
Then I suppose I'll have to do the honours. My brother Palamed, otherwise referred to as the Baron de Charloux, offered to give that place he got from his late wife to his sister.
But she didn't want it because she doesn't like that part of the country. Am I right?
Exactly. Now, someone was telling my wife all about this, and they said my brother was offering this place to our sister, not so much to please her as to tease her. To which my wife replied, and it came out quite spontaneously, "Teaser? Teaser? He must be Teaser Augustus."
Teaser Augustus. Oh, I say.
You see, that's the trouble with my wife. Even when she's making feeble puns, she describes people rather well. Shall we eat? I'm starving.
The famous Guermont wit. And the Duchess's vagaries of judgment spare no one except her husband. For he alone has never loved her.
Orianne, I had a visit the other day from your cousin, Mrs. Erdacor.
Yes.
Well, I know she's a Guermont, but they tell me she has a spiteful tongue.
No, not at all. She's in every sense superior, particularly in regard to her chest measurement.
In him, she feels an iron character.
She may be fat, but she's not lavish.
Indifferent to her whims, contemptuous of her beauty. One of those unbreakable wills under whose rule highly strung people can sometimes find tranquility.
Tell her that story of the lunch you had there.
The Duc de Gaumont lives the life of a bachelor.
Oh, really, Bazin? I don't think anyone's interested.
Rubbish.
Pursuing a particular kind of feminine beauty in a string of mistresses whom he constantly replaces.
I'm confused. I don't know any house where one could eat better.
Or less, that's the point.
Your story, Oriane. Deliver it.
The Duchess often irritates him, but he knows she's regarded as the most beautiful, the cleverest and best-read member of the aristocracy.
Give us the works, girl. She won't listen.
She covers up his irregularities.
I was invited to lunch.
Entertains like no one else on earth.
She didn't want to go. Go on.
And upholds for their salon its premier place in the Faubourg Saint-Germain.
Will you tell it?
No.
Go on.
Oh, all right. She didn't want to go. Doesn't want to go anywhere, my wife. She wanted to find out how many other people would be there. Her hostess said, "You're going to have puree of chestnuts. I will say no more than that there will be 7 plates." To which Oriane cried, 7? So that means there'll be at least 8 guests then. You see what I'm saying? 7 plates? 8 guests? Not enough.
Oh, I see.
I suddenly realized that the Duchess de Gaumont has all the energy and charm of a cruel little girl from one of the noble families around Combray. One of those who, from her early childhood, has tortured cats and gouged out the eyes of rabbits. And that she won't ever understand what I had looked for in her. And not found.
I don't remember ever saying such a thing. I'm sorry.
You did. You did.
No.
Minx. You naughty minx.
We are attracted by any life which represents for us something unknown. Something strange. And by every illusion that remains unshattered.
Oh, God. I'm sorry.
There's a glass gone.
The Baron de Charlus's sitting room is furnished less simply than the Duchess's. I have plenty of time to make the comparison. The Baron seems in no hurry to see me.
Look,
sir,
if the Baron is busy...
Yes, sir?
If he's too busy to see me, I'll come again.
No, you mustn't go.
But I've been waiting for nearly an hour now.
The Baron would be angry.
Well, tell him, would you? Tell him!
Eventually, I'm admitted to the presence.
Good evening. Good evening, Baron.
The Chinese dressing gown, the implacable eyes.
Put yourself in the Louis XIV seat. You call that a Louis XIV? I can see you're a well-educated young man.
Sir, I...
Set! The interview, which I have condescended to grant you at the request of a person who shall remain nameless, will be the final point in our relations. I make no secret of the fact that I'd hoped for better things from you. I don't think I'd be straining the meaning of the word too much if I were to say I once had a certain liking for you. Now, however, in these the last words we shall exchange on this earth, I must at least protect myself from your fabrication.
Sir, I've offended you.
Who says I'm offended? Do you suppose it's within your power to offend me? You're evidently not aware to whom you are speaking. Do you imagine that the envenomed spittle of 500 little gentlemen of your type, heaped one upon another, would succeed in slobbering so much as the tips of my august toes?
What are you talking about?
Someone, as I say, has...
If you will tell me who has maligned me, who has treacherously... I will...
Yes? You retain no memory of the things you say?
What?
And do you think the person who was so good as to inform me of your calumny did not begin by demanding secrecy?
You're not going to tell me?
I can see that with a fondness for underhand utterances, you combine one for futile persistence. I gave a promise.
Sir, you insult me. I have said nothing.
So, I'm lying.
Someone has misinformed you.
Yes. Well, of course, that's possible. Remarks relayed second-hand are frequently untrue. Oh! That's my hat! Oh! You... That's my hat! Oh. Was my hat.
Good night!
Wait!
Goodbye!
Marcel, profit by this.
What?
He who chasteneth well, loveth well. You can stay here.
Sir?
I have a room. Stay here. Why not?
There's a carriage waiting.
Oh, no, they'll have paid it off.
My mother's expecting me.
Is she? Golly.
It's late.
It's the hour when the bourgeois go to bed, as Whistler once said. You haven't even heard of Whistler, have you?
Good night, sir.
There's a moon, a blue moon. Come and sit in the wood with me. You're going?
Yes.
I'll take my brougham, then. And in memory of your grandmother, I have a rare edition of Madame de Sévigné bound for you.
I thought you said
what?
We wouldn't meet again.
I don't wish to part with you on these terms. No dissonance. Before the eternal silence, the dominant call. Good night.
Good night.
You're sure about the wood? Blue moon? You and I?
Quite sure.
In that case, give me your hand. Sir, your face. You can't even shave yet, can you? And what tiny ears.
Good night, sir.
Lovely.
The deceptive charm of society people. And though I was disappointed by the Duchess of Gaumont, the Baron's words flared in my imagination. He deceived me because he was deceived. And so, when an invitation arrived for me from a princess, I was once again beguiled, and disbelieving. My first thought, there must be a mistake. I knew the Duke and Duchess would also be invited, and so crossed to their apartment to ask them. So much of my energy invested in the wrong things.
Can it be true?
Why not?
I wondered if there might be some mistake.
Why? Oh, you're being humble. Look, ask Oriane. She'll reassure you. She's upstairs with Charles Swan at the moment. You know him? You do. Very boring. He's come to show her some article he's written. So just hang on. If you come, we'd love to see you, obviously. Yes?
God, what a bore it is to go out when one would much rather stay at home.
Hello, Marcel.
Good evening, Mr. Swan.
I'm struck by Swan's face. What was it?
Wait.
Did he used to clip his moustache? Was he wearing his hair differently? Then I realised.
Bazin and I have a plan to spend next spring in Italy and Sicily. Charles, come with us, won't you?
He's ill.
I'm afraid I won't be able to, no.
Well, you went with Mrs. Montmorency to Venice and to Vicenza. She told me you helped her see lots of things.
It won't be possible.
How can you say that?
You can see for yourself I'm ill.
Yes, I'm not asking you to come next week. I'm talking about next spring.
By next spring, I shall already have been dead for several months.
What did he say?
You're joking.
He's just saying it to upset you. Come on, our coach is ready.
I don't know why I'm telling you this.
Oriane, ignore it. Come on. You're a very naughty man.
I've never said a word to anyone else.
We must go.
I mustn't make you late.
Quite right. It's 8:10, Oriane. Charles, don't be taken in by these doctors. You're as strong as the Pont Neuf.
Yes.
You'll bury us all.
And now, when I look back on those childhood days, it is clear to me that the two paths I used to take with my family on hot summer afternoons are linked forever in the life of my mind. In the happiness they gave me, in the exaltation they have crossed the years, even though the paths themselves and those who trod them are no more. Though gone, they remain, as it were, at the deepest level of my mental soil, still offering me firm sites where I may build. Swan's Way, with its lilacs and hawthorns, and the Gaumont Way, with its river and water lilies, have constituted for me, for all time, a picture of a land in which I would happily pass my whole life.
In The Gaumont Way by Marcel Proust, dramatised by Michael Butt, the cast was Proust the narrator, James Wilby, Marcel, Jonathan Firth, Marcel as a boy, Stephen Williams, the Baron de Charlus, Corinne Redgrave, Albertine, Zoe Waits, Robert de Saint-Loup, Julian Ovenden, Rachel, Deborah Berlin, the Duke de Bourbon, Ian Masters, the Duchess, Sarah Kesselman, Jupien, Kim Wall, Charles Swan, Julian Wadham, Francoise, Rachel Atkins, Marcel's mother, Deborah Findlay, grandmother, Margaret Tysack. Other parts were played by members of the company. Vantoy's theme was composed by Jacob Shirley and played by Jacob Shirley, Purdy Gibson and Ellie Loring. In Search of Lost Time, directed by John Taylor, is a Fiction Factory production for BBC Radio 4. In Search of Lost Time, the classic sequence of novels by Marcel Proust, dramatized for radio in 6 parts by Michael Butt. Part 4, Sodom and Gomorrah.
You wake in the silence. A moment. Who are you? For a moment, you don't know. For a moment. Until memory. Your bedroom in your parents' apartment in Paris. Ring for the maid, Françoise. The bell. Reminds you of another bell. It's the one on the garden gate at your great-aunt Léonie's house in Combray. This bell still rings in your ears, though it happened in the remote past, your childhood. You're terrified. You realize this bell has always been inside you. These moments are your life. You feel giddy, as if you're looking down from a height at the long series of the years, not separated from you, no, but inside you.
Your hot milk.
Oh, Françoise.
Some air in here wouldn't go amiss.
Françoise, what sort of a day is it?
It's a day. What do you need to know?
What to do? An invitation to the party of a princess this evening. It's silver writing on the creamy card against the mirror. And though the bright charms society people once held for you seem to be tarnishing, you'll go. She's a princess, after all. And between then and now, you'll start your novel. That's what you'll do. After all, it's only a matter of willpower.
I'm not sure. What?
It's the Baron de Charlus voice. In the courtyard, outside your bedroom.
I beg your pardon, I'm confused.
And Jupien, the tailor.
Are you?
You go to the window. Some instinct draws you.
Perhaps you need to sit down for a bit.
Did I see you once in Zurich?
Portly Charlus tilts his body.
Zurich? Oh, I've never been there.
And do you have a light? For a cigar?
You're waiting for something you suspect is going to happen.
Oh, I'm afraid I've left my cigars at home.
Oh. Well, why don't you pop into my shop, then?
Now the tailor places his hand on his hip, sticks out his behind, poses like a coquette.
You can get everything you want there.
Or like some orchid in front of the providential arrival of a bee. You're fascinated.
Yes. All right. Where's...
Follow me, sir.
There's an empty shop next door to Jupien's. It's connected by a thin partition. All you have to do is just run straight across the yard and into the empty shop. Why, though? Why this risk? One, you're impatient. Two, memories of spying on Mr. Vanteuil's daughter and her female lover at Montjuvin. Listen. It's already begun. Noises like someone slitting someone's throat are now coming from Jupien's shop. You conclude from this that there is another sound as noisy as pain.
Oh, you great big beautiful darling.
Pleasure. Think about it. A retired tailor stands quivering with ecstasy before a man of 50. The feud of the Capulets and Montagues is as nothing compared to the obstacles which these two have overcome. A miracle has occurred. The bumblebee has brought its pollen to the orchid which has waited so long to receive it. And as soon as you think of it like this, everything about it is touched by beauty.
You don't move, but wait half an hour for them to come outside again.
Why do you shave your chin?
Eh?
It's so nice, a beard.
Ugh, it's disgusting.
You big baby.
You ask me why I follow young men home. Well, it's because it provides me with some interest on my journey there. Some curious little person who's taken my fancy. I often have to change trains 3 or 4 times to pursue her. I use the feminine gender. I mean this little person. And frequently end up in the Gare d'Orléans at 11 o'clock at night, all on my own. It's curious, but with young gentlemen, all I want to do is touch them. I don't mean physically, but touch. A responsive chord. Once that's done, I'm assuaged. As soon as a young man starts writing to me incessantly, and he is, as it were, morally at my disposal, I immediately become obsessed with another. Strange, isn't it? You don't know of any young men, do you?
Well, there's a nice, dark, tall one with eyeglasses visits here.
I don't know him. I will tell you about someone I'm currently interested in. He's an intelligent little beast, but he shows a prodigious want of civility towards me. Oh, but what is the matter? Would you be prepared, Jupien, to act as my agent in these matters?
Of course, dear. Just give me a shout. I'm entirely at your disposal.
Well, I must go.
Nice arse, Honor.
Thank you.
Your eyes opened. Each man's vice, for want of a better word, is hidden. You know now why the Baron reminds you of a woman. He is one. Now you see it. Charlot's ideal is manly precisely because his temperament is feminine. Some people believe homosexuals are repugnant and unnatural. But what is it angers these people? Isn't it because the law and blackmail and violence have made no difference to the homosexual's innate disposition? And why does it cause more repugnance than theft, or cruelty, or breach of faith? Isn't it because people can understand those vices better, and so are more ready to excuse them? To the princess's party. You stand around, nervously looking for your hostess, so you can introduce yourself before someone comes up to you and says, "Excuse me, there's been some mistake. Would you mind leaving?"
Hello.
Hello.
So lovely to see you again.
Yes.
And is your mother well?
Thank you, yes.
And your father?
My father.
Oh, he looked pale the other evening.
He's very well.
Oh, good. Well, give them both my love, won't you?
No. No idea at all who that was. Someone looking over your shoulder might say,
"Isn't it rather sad that a person of your age can't remember this woman's name?"
And you might reply,
"You're right. And what's worse, we're approaching that time when all names will drop into that dark well."
Oh, possibly.
But here's the good news. Without forgetfulness, we'd never bother to think about memory at all. It takes an insomniac to think about sleep. And failing memory is an incentive.
Yes.
Anything else worrying you?
Can I get a drink round here?
I think you'll find one over there.
Oh, there you are.
Robert.
Who was that?
Not sure. How are you?
Tall, blonde and noble. Robert de Saint-Loup, your friend. And, of course, a Gamont. Was that what he meant to you?
Very well, very well.
What did he see in you?
I'm feeling spectacularly relaxed this evening.
Oh, good. How's that?
Had a rather exotic afternoon.
Exotic?
Yes, exotic.
I see.
A place I know.
This is a brothel, is it?
It's a house of assignation.
And there's a difference?
Are you being disapproving?
You've changed.
My God, it's like talking to my mother. Listen, if you don't need to sheath your sword now and again, I damn well do. You look rather fraught. I think you'd benefit from it.
Oh, really?
What's the matter? Come with me.
You used to be so severe about these things.
Yes, and you used to be more fun.
I have been to a brothel, you know.
Really? Have you?
Yes.
Where?
How could I tell you that? It was a place where your mistress, your ex-mistress, Rachel, had serviced me for 20 francs.
Well?
I can't remember.
Listen, there's a woman at the one I go to. Fabulous. Whatever you like, she's there. You understand? And what's more, she comes from a good family. Imagine. Oh, name of Miss Audreville.
Really?
You're interested, aren't you? You're interested now. Oh, you might like Mrs. Pooboos's maid.
Who?
Mrs. Pooboos, you know?
Her maid?
A slim one, short hair.
She's there.
Freelancing, making a bit of extra money. Very dexterous.